Hello there and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program of Blind Citizens Australia. BCA is the national consumer representative voice of Australians who are blind or vision impaired. Our mission is to achieve equity and equality by our empowerment, by promoting positive community attitudes, and by striving for high quality and accessible services which meet our needs. Ride our dreams down. Hi, this is Ricky Chaplin with New Horizons. This week we're going to feature an excerpt from the keynote speech given by Bill Jolly at the recent Blind Citizens Australia National Convention held in Perth during October. Unfortunately, I'm only able to give you the bare bones of Bill's presentation, but nevertheless, it's still very interesting, and I hope it inspires you to go and download the full presentation that Bill delivered from the BCA website. Bill presents a very interesting history of Blind Citizens Australia, and as I say, I can't deliver all of the anecdotes that Bill talks about during his presentation, but it nevertheless shows us what a great track record BCA does have and all of the work we have done over the last 40 years. So sit back and enjoy this keynote speech from Bill Jolly.
Blind Citizens Australia, as a self-help organisation, has established a reputation and a track record of which we can all be truly proud. There's much that's happened over the past 40 years in both mainstream society and the blindness field, and these developments have been linked, as many mainstream changes have impacted people who are blind or vision impaired. We have also seen tremendous change in society's attitude to persons with disabilities, moving away from segregation, institutionalisation and welfare towards inclusion, person-centeredness and human rights. As blind people, we have seen the consolidation of mainstream education and the closure of schools for the blind, the convergence of blindness agencies, the consolidation of rehabilitation services with greater outreach to seniors and to people with low vision, and the ubiquity of audible traffic signals, synthetic speech and electronic information. Globally, there was the historic merger in 1984 to form the World Blind Union, the creation in 1997 of the DAISY Consortium, and in 2013, the Marrakesh Treaty. And in 1975, along came Radio for the Print Handicapped and Blind Citizens Australia. I think of BCA as evolving through four life phases. 1975 to 1988 was the establishment phase when the fledgling organisation was started, struggled for survival, relied on commercial fundraising and became incorporated. 1988 to 2000 was the development phase when the organisation first received ongoing agency grants, secured recurrent government funding, carried out information delivery or research projects, achieved peak body status with defined service streams, grew substantially and partnered with other organisations to lead cross-disability policy-related projects. 2001 to 2015 has been a consolidation phase, with the organisation focusing on advocacy and blindness-related policy development. This period comes to a close as a result of external changes that have shaken the organisation from its somewhat steady-as-you-go comfort zone to confront an uncertain future. BCA was conceived, given the go-ahead and born, at three meetings in Melbourne, each held at the Blind Citizens Community Centre in Kooyong. November 1974, March 1975 and June 1975. The first committee was made up of David Blythe, President, Hugh Jeffrey, Vice President, Bill Jolly, Secretary, Phyllis Gration, Treasurer, Alan Bates, John Machen and Peter Sumner, committee members. At the June meeting, the name was adopted, an annual membership fee of $3 was agreed, and branch voting at conventions was approved. In 1999, the name was changed following some years of socialising Blind Citizens Australia as our common use name. Two icons of the organisation in its formative years were Hugh Jeffrey and David Blythe. Hugh was a stalwart of self-help by people with disabilities. a music teacher by profession and a gentleman by nature. But much more importantly, he was a great role model and encouragement to we young ones to enjoy life, to maintain high expectations, and to take our place in society. He was our first internationalist, taking a leading role in drafting a Charter for the Blind of the World, adopted by the International Federation of the Blind at Colombo in 1969. Hugh Jeffrey's lasting contribution to BCA is the Jeffrey Blythe Foundation, which he founded and fostered through a generous bequest of more than $300,000. He walked the walk of commitment and self-help through which BCA's effectiveness through longevity and independence would be assured. David Blythe had an entirely different style. A product of rural working class in Northern Australia, he is a big picture pragmatist, a president of nearly everything he's touched. The strong partnership and deep friendship between David Blythe and Hugh Jeffrey was a great example for me with their contrasting cut around or cut through approaches, which had one thing in common. What's good for blind people is paramount, and what BCA believes, says and does must always be directed to that end. David was our first president for 7 years from 1975, serving another three-year term from 2007 when a governance crisis called for an experienced hand to steady the ship. He also served as executive officer almost 35 years ago at considerable cost to his family business, maintaining a BCA commitment that never wavered. BCA's growth into the 1980s was steady, but our acceptance and sustainability were by no means assured. We tried to expand beyond Melbourne and were successful in Sydney with Joan Lederman, Wal Bolan and Graham Innes, sharing the burden of leadership. But interstate parochialism was as yet untamed. Sustainability was a challenge, for there were no government grants, there was more resentment than partnership from the blindness agencies, and income was insufficient to support a national member-based organisation whose communication costs were magnified by the need for braille, cassette and large print. We survived during the 1980s by commercial fundraising, walking a fine line between maintaining our dignity and selling our soul. And much of our energy was expended on telemarketing of dine-out voucher books and pen sets. We also benefited from waste rag collection and the sale of flowers in restaurants. By 1986, we had recognised the need for a major paradigm shift if the organisation was to move beyond mere survival towards growth. We appointed John Simpson as executive officer, incorporated as a company limited by guarantee, and set about the massive challenge of securing recurrent funding from the government and the blindness agencies. By 1989, following the passing of the Disability Services Act 1986, BCA began to get traction with the blindness agencies as a legitimate organisation and with the Commonwealth Government as deserving of project funding. We had entered our development phase. In 1989, the Commonwealth Government funded BCA to carry out two research projects complementing the department's own service reviews. One review concerned the breadth and quality of orientation and mobility services, and the other concerned the breadth and quality of print disability production and library services. These reviews were largely a response to BCA's ongoing agitation to receive funding as an advocacy service provided under the Act. When new service proposals were called for 2 years previously under the newly introduced Act, BCA and the blindness agencies all independently completed the 99-question application form seeking new service funding. For us, it was a huge amount of work. The department threw up its hands in horror at the fragmentation within the blindness service sector, as a result of which no blindness services were funded. During the period 1988 to 1990, the Victorian government became concerned about some practices of several of the blindness agencies and responded to the agitation of BCA by agreeing in 1991 to fund BCA as a counterpoint to the agencies with a grant of half a unit each of advocacy and information service delivery. Meanwhile, we kept up the pressure on the Commonwealth, which funded more projects, but procrastinated on our recurrent funding requests. We changed our focus from advocacy to secretariat funding, following the devolution of service funding under the first Commonwealth State Disability Agreement. In 1994, BCAA secured national secretariat funding from the Commonwealth, with peak body status to provide advice to government on behalf of the blind community. This national secretariat funding underpinned the organisation's operations through until June 2015 and was critically important to the organisation's survival and growth. By 1990, some blindness agencies promised to fund BCA recurrently, and some even withdrew from the Australian National Council Oven for the Blind, stating that they could not afford to fund both organisations. Ongoing funding from only RVIB in Melbourne and RBS in Sydney materialised, underpinning the funding now received from Vision Australia. During his seven-year term as executive officer, John Simpson emphasised partnership as a means to a win-win end with advocacy. I recall Telstra's proposal to charge a fee for calls to the 013 Directory Assistance Service. Blind people were exempted, and Telstra paid for our 1800 number to handle inquiries and for community service announcements to promote the exemption. There was the development of Cash Test Australia, funded by the Reserve Bank, which began as the resolution of a DDA complaint lodged by Graham Innes. There was the dissemination of electoral information, including party political content, funded by the Electoral Commission and the major parties. And there was a regular series of community service announcements using the National RPH Network and other media outlets, where practicable, concerning these and other projects. BCA expanded its communication media, including Blind Citizens News, Soundabout, New Horizons, and grew its membership to peak at 3,000. We introduced the pre-authorised credit card PAC program, which continues to be the mainstay of member contributions. Our members have supported BCA financially, a defining characteristic that separates BCA out from among its peers. BCA's policy pursuits have been characterised by long and difficult campaigns, and success has largely been achieved through partnership with like-minded organisations, social movements, or political philosophies. BCA's unique contributions have been the inclusion of rich blindness-specific content in areas such as pedestrian safety and wayfinding in the built environment, information accessibility and product usability in the digital environment, and access to goods and services under equitable terms and conditions with the rest of the community. I cannot close without mentioning BCA's contribution at the international level, in particular the outstanding presidencies of David Blyth and Marianne Diamond of the World Blind Union, and Joan Lederman as leader of the International Council on English Braille. My BCA journey has been a privilege, having been placed in positions of responsibility and trust. I wish BCA longevity, prosperity, and effectiveness. And to our incoming leaders, headed by Emma Bennison and Leah Van Poppel, I wish you every success. Thank you.
Blind Citizens Australia is funded by the Australian Government through the Department of Social Services and from the Victorian Department of Human Services. We receive financial and in-kind support from Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, Guide Dogs Victoria, and the RPH stations throughout Australia. Generous donations are also received from our members and the broader community. Blind Citizens Australia is located at Ross House, Level 3, 247 to 251, Flinders Lane, Melbourne, Victoria, 3000. Our national office contact number is 03 9654 1400, or toll free 1800 033 660. You can email us at bca@bca.org.au. Our website address is www.bca.org.au. Ride our dreams down.